you know, in the book of Galatians, but here, time her down just a little bit. But whenever we've done, or whenever we look at the Galatians, we know that it's all about grace. And we see, I got to have my glasses on because I got to see y'all's reactions out there. Otherwise, y'all are just big blurs, folks. But we see, you know, that there is plus nothing in salvation. You know, there's nothing we can add to salvation that will save us. It is only by grace and grace alone that we are saved. And like I've said, you know, we've been working our way through the book of Galatians, and now we're to Galatians chapter 4. Sorry, I did not change that first slide. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 20 this morning, and it's really talking about, you know, living as God's children. We are no longer slaves. Now we are sons. We are part of the family of God. And that is something important that we need to know. And we need to live like we are sons. We need to live in that authority that we have because we are part of the family of God. No longer going back to who we once were, but move forward and into our relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you will turn to Galatians chapter 4, I would really appreciate it. And when you get there, just tell me, Haley, are you there yet? Are you there yet? Here, go sit with Lolly. I know you got pretty shoes on. Go sit with Lolly. Okay. So we can look as in this and think, man, what does the Lord have for me and you? And I think it is just living out our life for who we truly are. Because sometimes we can get into our lives and we can think, well, I don't deserve, you know, Christ. Guess what? None of us deserve Christ, but He was so graceful by sending Jesus Christ. The Father was by sending Jesus Christ to this earth to die for us, that we get to have that authority. We do not become gods like some religions or some, I don't even want to say denominations, but some religions believe that we become gods. We don't. We are children of God. We belong to Him because of what Christ did on the cross of Calvary, and we are no longer who we once were. And it gives that description in the first part of this chapter. And so, are y'all there yet? I've been waiting on y'all. Man, I've been talking and waiting on you. Are y'all there? Nod your head. There you go. Give me something. Blink your eyes or something. You know, blink your eyes. I can't tell. You know, there. So, you know, so make sure that you're there, because we want to make sure that we know what God's Word said, and that, you know, that Brother Jimmy ain't up here reading out of Buckmasters or out of, you know, Ranchers, you know, Ranchers magazine, or by, you know, any magazine you can think of. You know, but we have here, starting in verse 1 in chapter 4, it says, "Now I say that the heir is no longer as he is a child, does not differ from all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father." Verse 3, "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has set forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. But then, indeed, when you did not know God, you served those by nature that were not gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements that, or to which you declare or you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid for you, lest I have labored in vain. brethren, I urge you to become like me, for I become like you. You have not injured me at all. You know that because of physical infirmities, I preached the gospel to you at the first. And my trial, which was in my flesh, did not desire or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Jesus Christ. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that, if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and gave them to me. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously count you or court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you that you may be zealous for them. But it is good to be zealous in a good thing always, and not only when I present with you. My little children, for I have labored in birth until Christ is formed in you. I would like to be present with you to know and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you. Lord, we just come before you just thanking you for all that you have done for us, Lord. Lord, just guide us this morning in your word, Lord. Just let us grow, Lord, and just become more like you and understand, Lord, our position within your family, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we look at this, passage, we look at our place in God as God's children, or from slaves to sons in verses 1 and 2. We need to understand who we are, we are once like slaves, but we are now God's heirs, children who inherit. Who in here likes to inherit something? Y'all want to inherit something? Man, I would love to inherit something. Mom and dad said, well, we're going to spend everything we got, so, y'all ain't going to probably inherit much. We might get a little land or something. But we just think about, hey, God has given us this great inheritance that we have in His Son, Jesus Christ. Before Christ, we were heirs, living like slaves, under the law, waiting for God's perfect timing. So before maturity, God's children were guided by guardians, and managers at that time, as we've read in this first part of chapter 4. So when we were a child, whenever we were like a slave, we were under the guardianship of the law. And that's what he's telling them in that day. Before Christ ever came, the law was here to guide you. What was it here to guide you to do? To know that you needed a Savior. And that's the big thing in our life. We know that we can't fulfill the law, that we're sinners, and we need a Savior because we can't do it ourselves. Our place as God's children now is because He came, but we were once slaved. Imagine this. Imagine a young child who is the heir of a great fortune, the estate, the land, the riches, all legally his, but because he's still a child, he can't touch any of it. He lives under the rules, tutors, and boundaries until the time comes. That's us before Christ, wealthy in promise, but living as paupers. I can think of men like David, like Abraham, like these men of the Old Testament that loved the Lord, that they knew there was a promise that was to come, but they never got to fulfill or see that promise happen in their lifetime. They were living as paupers. They were living as slaves at that time. But whenever Christ came, it changed them. Even in their death, even in their sacrifice, of the life that they lived, it changed them in that time. But even thinking of us, we can't confuse where we are today. We are no longer bound, but we are heirs. Because there was a time, You know, in June of 1990, that I was in bondage. What is a slave? They're in bondage. But I was in bondage to sin before I knew Christ. But the promise had already came. But I gave my life to Christ by receiving His grace. And I was no longer at that time a slave, but I was a son. So as we live through this, you know, before we matured, before we came to know Christ, we had a guardian in our life, and that was the law. But we also had a guardian in our life that was God's Word beyond the law even. Because what does it tell us in Romans? You know, it shows us how we are saved, but it first tells us that we are sinners. And there is not a person in this building that is not a sinner, that does not need Jesus Christ, that was at one time in your life, and you may be there today in your life, that you are a slave to sin, that sin has control of you, that sin has a bondage on you, has you shackled, that you have no control, you have no freedom in your life because sin has control. But Christ came to break that bondage, and He did that on the cross of Calvary. And now those who accept Jesus, and I can't get this even more, those who accept Jesus Christ, who recognize that they are a sinner, that they have missed the mark, that they do not measure up to Christ's standards, us who realize that, recognize in our life that we give our life to Christ and say, Christ, I can't do it. I can't live my life in fulfillment of the law. I can't live my life as Your standard. I can't do that, Lord, but I accept Jesus. I put my trust and my faith in Him for what He has done for me. The grace that He has given us, I put my faith and my trust in that. And what does He do? He clothes us with His righteousness. So now, how does God see us? He sees us through, as my little example that I use, you know, in that old country song, you know, rose-colored glasses, you know, that I say the Father sees us in Jesus-shaded glasses. He sees us through the lens of Jesus because now we are part of His family and we are covered with God's grace. So where is my old sin? They have left me because God has forgiven me because He paid them on the paid my price for my sins on the cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago. And now He no longer sees me as a sinner, as a person who is far from Him, but He sees me as His child. So please don't confuse who you are today as His child. That you are something that is not worthy. That you are something that, man, I can't do this. You know, myself, don't try to do it yourself. Because there's one thing you can't do is do it yourself. I can try all I can. I can try my best. I can give my best effort. And I'm going to fail. Because I'm a sinner. You know, that old, Southern gospel song. I can't remember the rest, you know, all of it. But it has a phrase in it, you know, old sinner saved by grace. That's all I am. Do I deserve it? I don't deserve it. Do I deserve to be in God's family, a part of His family? No, because I'm a sinner, but God had grace upon me, and He invited me in to His family. Whenever I accepted Jesus, His Son, and He came at a perfect time in history for this. You know, He came in a time of history, you know, of probably of a lot of change. And Jesus came at this time so that people could see who he was. He came at this perfect time. And I love this, you know, that God set an appointed time for us to receive our inheritance. And he sent an appointed time for Jesus to come. You know, I've heard stories of people that have went to prison and God met them in prison. Met them at this specific time in history that something happened to them in prison. They got saved and they were delivered from that bondage of sin and they received Christ and now they were free with him. And there's so many people out in this world that may not be behind bars, but they are still in prison. Because they're in prison to sin. They're enslaved to that. They're wearing them shackles each and every day that sin is controlling them. But God come at that perfect time in their life. And do you know that you may be that perfect time? That God may send you to go and to witness to that person. And someone else has witnessed to them and they have not received Christ. They have rejected it and God has appointed this time that you would go speak to them about the gospel, and that they would be saved. You never know. You never know what God has in store, but there is an appointed time, you know, for man, you know, and I believe it's different for all. You know, God uses circumstances a lot of times, and sometimes people have to be flat on their back before they can ever look up to see that God is calling them, and you are there for that appointed time. Just as they talk about in the book of Esther, for such a time as this. When was Esther sent before the king? For such a time as this, that it was an appointed time that Esther would go before the king to save her people. And you are the same way. Don't think we're any different than Esther is. There are lost people that are fixing to die and split hell wide open if we do not go share the gospel with them. If we don't tell them about Jesus. And it may be your neighbor sitting right beside you and may have lived beside you for 25, 30, 50 years that is dying and going to hell and we have never went and told them about Jesus. It may be our responsibility to share Jesus, to bring them from that slave lifestyle of bondage into sin to the freedom in Jesus Christ. In verses 3 through 7, it talks about the spirit of adoption. So once we become saved, once we become sons, become saved and become sons of the family of God, now we have this great time. And number two, you know, the spirit of adoption within our life, that God didn't just reduce us from slavery. He brought us into His family and gave us His Spirit. He did not just deliver us from slavery. He did so much more. You know, there's some people, you know, that they were delivered from slavery. You know, they were set free, but they were set free to say, what? What do I do now? But God has given us something. He has given us His Son and His Spirit to live inside of us. God gave us this. And it was a gift to bring God, or for being God's children. I love in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 where it talks about, you know, that He gave us the Spirit as an earnest. as a down payment for what was to come. He has this Holy Spirit living inside of us here on this earth as an earnest to help us get to where we're going. Because this is not our final destination. What do we look at as this earth, you know, that we are pre-journeyers, that we are just pilgrims passing through, that this is not our home. Our home is in heaven. And He gives us the Holy Spirit to help guide us while we're here on this earth, to help lead us through our lives, to help tell us what to do if we will listen to Him. That's a big thing, isn't it? Because the Holy Spirit can live inside of us. You know, we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. We know Him as Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit has come and resided inside of us. And now we say, yeah, He has, but, you know, I'm not a very good listener. I don't want to listen what He has to tell me. Some people don't like authority. And guess what? The Holy Spirit is authority in our lives. And we need to recognize His authority in our life. He is trying to guide us and to direct us in our life for the best for us. He doesn't do things and ask us to do things within our life and tell us to go share the gospel and tell us not to do things in our life. He doesn't convict us to make our life miserable. He convicts us to make our life better. Because what is He trying to do? He's trying to keep us from going back into that bondage of sin. So God sent His Son to free us. But not only to free us, He sent His Son to live in our hearts, adopting us into His family. You know, we have this phrase that we use as Baptists a lot, especially that, you know, ask Jesus into your heart. You know, and that kind of goes along, and I figure that's where they get that phrase, is from this verse. But it's not Jesus, it's the Holy Spirit, which is one part of the Trinity that is coming to live. So what did Jesus say? I must go so the Helper can come. What is the Helper going to do? He's going to help guide us and direct us. Who is the Helper? It is the Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Oh, don't get scared. I know we're in a Baptist church, but Holy Spirit is a real word. He is the Holy Spirit. He is here to guide us and direct us in our lives and to help us, to free us. Think of adoption in today's world. You know, a child who once had no family, no security, no inheritance, is suddenly brought into a loving home. Oh, boy, isn't that a picture of us into the family of God? That we were once in a home that did not love you, because I will tell you, this world does not love you. Satan does not love you. When we are saved, we are brought in, we are adopted into God's family, into a family of love. He doesn't knock on the door each morning asking, may I please, or you do not knock on the door every morning asking, may I please stay here? No, He belongs. He is a son or daughter. In the same way, the Spirit also cries, Abba, Father. Reminding us that we are not a stranger. We are family. I love that word, Abba, Father. Whenever you go to the Greek and find out, you know, what that word means, it's like us today saying daddy or dad. Hey, it's us having that intimate, close relationship with that person. That is, they know us and we know them, and they love us and we love them. It is that intimate relationship that we have with them whenever we cry out Abba, Father. Verse 6, it says, because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, because of this, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So when we are not just forgiven, we are family. Doesn't it feel good to be family in your life? Or to have family? Someone that is going to stand by you. Someone that's going to be there for you on a daily basis. That, man, family, we get together. You know, our family, our physical families, you know, we get together, you know, on Thanksgiving, on Christmas, on Easter, on these different holidays, and the whole family gets together and you have a great time. You enjoy the fellowship, the talking about memories. You think about all these things. Eat some chicken and dressing and some pie. I don't know about no pumpkin pie, but we'll eat some sweet potato pie. You know, we eat all these things and just have great time of fellowship. I tell you, with your spiritual family, with the family of God, we get to do that every week. We get to meet together and we get to rejoice with one another. We get to talk with one another. We get to eat. It's not necessarily fellowship in the back, but we eating right here this morning. We eating on God's Word. We absorbing it, digesting all the nutrients in our life or in it, you know, and it's absorbed and going through and giving strength to our body. Man, isn't God's Word doing the same thing to your mind? It should be. It should be growing, man. We're absorbing God's Word. We're absorbing being with other fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And it is a fun time. But it seems like whenever we get together at a reunion, less and less people show up every year. People are disconnected. But guess what? The same thing goes with the church. People are disconnected. Man, we are a family. We need to come together. We need to fellowship with one another. We need to be here. We are not just forgiven, folks. We are family. We are part of the family of God. I'm not just an Owens. I'm a part of Jesus Christ's immediate family because I am a son of the living God. If that don't make you shout, boy, your shouter's broke. Something's wrong. Man, you ain't a son or a daughter of God. Man, we need to get part of the family and enjoy that time of fellowship. You don't approach God as a beggar. You approach Him as His beloved Son. You don't come to God, God, I want to ask you something. Man, He says, boldly come before His throne room. Boldly come before Him and come to God and speak to Him on a daily basis. We can boldly come. Why? Because we are His children. We are His sons and daughters. And we belong in His family. And I pray that you belong that. And everyone is watching, will watch later on this. And they will watch and they will know that we come boldly. We don't have to be ashamed to come before the Father. Yes, I have sinned, but His Son has forgiven me, and I can come and I can have that intimate relationship with Him. Man, aren't you glad? Or you glad or broke? Man, let's get glad with the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done because we are beloved children. But Paul, and I believe Paul was talking to the church today. He was telling them who they were in Christ. Man, that you are no longer that slave. You are a child. You're a part of a family. But what in the world are you doing? That's what Paul was telling them in this second part or in this last part here. Or, you know, in verses 8 through 20, Paul pleads for faithfulness. He's staying faithful to the gospel. remembering where they had come from. Don't forget. We have so many people, and myself sometimes too, you know, we got short-term memory. We forget where we came from and what God has delivered us from, and we want to go back to that bondage, to wearing that rock or that backpack full of rocks that is weighing us down, that we're trying to carry, that God has already delivered us from. We want to go back and put that back on and live in the lifestyle that we once lived in. Paul says he is worried about them. He pleads with them. Paul warns Galatians not to go back to slavery, to idols, and to empty religion. He pleads with them to remain faithful to the gospel. And that's what I plead with you today too, and with myself, that we remain faithful to the gospel. Remember where you came from. Before Christ, we are trapped in a powerless things, because sin will never get you anywhere. What they say is sin will take you further than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin is no good for you. Why would we ever want to go back into that lifestyle? There's a danger to going back to that slavery. Because that slavery, with the human side, with the flesh side of us, we think is fun. But with the spiritual side, we know it's devastating to our relationship with the Lord and with others. You know, the way I see it a lot of times is, man, what is it doing to your witness? What if someone is trying, or the Lord is working on their heart, and they see you as a Christian and you're living like the world, and then they say, well, you know, I don't know why I need to accept Christ. You know, they're living no different than what I live. Boy. Do we want that on us? I sure hope not. I hope that we want to stand out and we want to be the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, that we are no longer like this world, but we are like Christ. Picture a prisoner who has served his time. The cell door opens and he walks out free. But imagine if the next day he marches right back to the prison, locks himself in the same cell. It's what it's like to go back to the chains Christ has already broken. Paul says, don't return, live in freedom. Why would you ever want to leave that cell that you had been in maybe 20, 30 years and say, well, I'm going back and I'm going to get back in that cell and I'm going to lock the door and I don't have to stay here, but I'm going to live here my life. Who would do that? What would we do? We would check them into a mental asylum thinking there's something mentally wrong with you if you do that. And if a Christian, a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ and they have been delivered, why would you ever want to go back? What should we do? Look at that person and say, what is wrong? Why would you ever want to go back and live in that life anymore? Don't drift back into those chains, because it's easy to drift back. And I gave this illustration a couple weeks ago, you know, and it's in the Hebrews chapter 2, the beginning of that, you know, but the danger of drifting. You go down to the artesian well, you know, down there at Sparkman. I remember whenever I was a kid, it was a bunch of eddy water. It just didn't look like it was moving. And you could sit in there and you could be fishing. Next thing you know, you're drifted down the river, and you look like, how did I get down here? Because you're drifting. It's easy to get somewhere if you're just drifting through life. Us don't drift. Let's be intentional about what we're doing. Let's be intentional about living for Christ. Let's be intentional about coming and fellowshipping with other brothers and sisters in Christ. It's an intentional thing. It's not just going to happen. We have to make it happen. I was reading a thing this morning. Someone put on there, let church be your excuse why you don't go other places. But what do? We let other places be the excuse why we don't come to church, why we don't fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We say, but Brother Jimmy, you can say, you know, you don't have to be saved to be a Christian. Or you don't, no, that's not what I'm saying. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You do have to be saved to be a Christian. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Yeah, but if you are saved, you want to. You don't have to, but you want to. Where's your want to at? Stand firm in Christ, grow in Him, and guard your heart against anything that pulls you away. We need to guard our hearts this morning because God is wanting to do something, but guess who else wants to do something? Satan wants to do something. He does not want you to be faithful to the Lord. He does not want you to read His Word. He does not want you to come and fellowship with other believers in Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you to do them things. So what should we do? We should be faithful to do them things in our life. So Paul was holding firm in faith. Paul worried about their spiritual growth. Man, I worry about people's spiritual growth. When things don't matter to them, it makes me worry. You know, and he urges them to hold on to the true gospel and not be led astray. Don't go back to what God has called you and delivered you from. We have an identity this morning. You're not a slave. You're a son or daughter of God. We have a birth certificate or adoption papers, provides identity. Your proof is the Spirit within you. That's my birth certificate and my adoption papers, is the Holy Spirit living inside of me. Does He live in you? Do we have this intimacy with God? You know, you call out to Him, Abba, Father, a close personal relationship. And I'm not saying in your prayer you have to say, Abba, Father. Talk to Him like He's your Father. Like you have this close relationship that you love Him and that you are desiring to meet with Him. Not always asking Him for something, but it is just talking to Him. Have faithfulness. Don't go back to what Christ has set you free from. What's the big idea on all this? In Christ, we move from slavery to sonship, from law to love, from bondage to freedom. Live like the heirs you truly are this morning. You are an heir to the kingdom of God. You will get to go one day to heaven and to be with Him in a close, intimate relationship personally with Him. But today, where you are sitting right now, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And He says you can go to the Father boldly. Daddy, don't have to hang your head. Daddy, I just want to talk to you today. Getty, I've got something on my heart today. Does the Lord already know your heart? Yes, but guess what? He wants to hear it. I might can see my daughter's, you know, her actions, her feelings, but I want her to talk to me. And that's what God wants us to do also. He wants to hear from us. He doesn't want us to hide from Him. He wants us to come out and us to speak. So how about us today? Are we living in that freedom? Are we living as children and not slaves? Or have we been delivered and we have this freedom in Jesus Christ? We have a relationship with Him, but we have gone back. We have drifted back into that old lifestyle. We've gone back to that prison. We opened up the prison doors. We got in. We shut the door. We locked the key. And we're there again. God says, what are you doing? The door's not locked. Because you have been delivered from that. So today, open that door. Walk out of that prison. Because that prison has no power over you. Makes me think of Paul and Silas. They started singing and praising the Lord. And what happened? There was a great shaking. The prison doors flew open. Why? Because Jesus Christ opened them. He opens the door in our life to do of that bondage that we have got ourselves into. Because God didn't get us into it. We got ourselves into it. Open it up and be free. As we stand this morning for a time of invitation, I just ask that you just let the Lord work in your life. Do something, or let Him do something in your life that's going to change tomorrow for you. Not just, well, maybe next week, that tomorrow will be different, and the next day. Lord, we just thank you so much for each and every person that is here today, Lord. That just be with them, Lord. Just help guide and direct them in their lives, Lord. And let them draw close to you, Lord. And if they're in bondage, Lord, and enslaved to sin, Lord, that you have already delivered them from that, Lord, just let them open up that door and walk out of that prison cell, Lord. Because they are already free, Lord. And let them live in that freedom in you, Lord, this morning. Lord, I just love you and I thank you for your mercy and your grace that allows us to do that. Allows us to be your children, Lord, if we will accept you as Lord and Savior of our life. Lord, just move in hearts, not just here today, Lord, but anyone that watches this on Facebook at a later time, Lord, that you would just deliver them from that bondage, Lord, in their lives, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.